Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sboom Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world. Welcome to yet another fascinating episode of the Sports Live podcast. The year is winding down, but the sporting action is only getting hotter. This week, we will see who will make it to the Telkom knockout final when Mamelodi Sundowns meet Lamontville Golden Arrows, Abafana Bestende, and Kaizer Chiefs lock horns with Maritzburg United this very weekend. So many subplots in those fixtures, like Chiefs coach Ernst Middendorp had a number of stints at Maritzburg United, while Arrows are fresh off a whimsical win over the Brazilians in the league. Sundowns are also reportedly in a bit of a crisis, if the papers are to be believed. Coach Pitso Mosimane and the head of communications, Goldfingers Alex Shakwane, are at loggerheads at the moment. And to help us unpack this and a lot of other things happening in the sporting scene, we have in-house senior sports writer Mahlatsi Mphahlele in studio. Bra Mahlatsi.
Sure.
Thanks again for joining me. Funny how I opened this podcast with you as a guest. We're chatting Tiani Sugar Mabunda and Israel Folau. How many things have changed since then? Welcome back,
buddy. Religious and sports, eh? Religion and sports, I mean.
Religion and sports, yeah. Unfortunately, we're going to stick just to the sports today. Before we delve any deeper, you were at Bafana against Sudan, where Molefe Ntseke's squad won a rather atrocious AFCON qualifier 1-0 on Sunday. How was that?
It's an iffy win, if I may say. Not convincing at all. We expect Bafana to be really doing extremely well in terms of scoring goals and being imposing and dominating a side like Sudan, with the utmost of respect. They pretty much just scraped through. They went into that game under a lot of pressure because we lost our first match against them, against Ghana, and they had to win. Fortunately, they did manage to win, but it was not pretty on the eye, to be honest with you. They missed a lot of chances. I just hope that with the break that is, between now and the next World Cup qualifier early next year, the coach would have had, a sit down with the technical team and try and come up with something better, because we definitely cannot continue like this.
Yeah. I had a chat with Utiani Mabasa as well as Sihle Ndebele some period during the podcast series about the merits of Molefe Ntseke's appointment. You can tell he's a Safa man, right? He's like a Sheikh Mashaba in a way. That comes with its pros and cons, because the pro is that, he knows Safa as an organization, so the likelihood of him being at loggerheads with his own boss, like his predecessor, is slim. But at the same time, he's had to face cheap appointment accusations. Yeah. What's your view on how he's done so far? 2 wins in 3. Not a great performance against Ghana away in Accra, but, at least he got the 3 points against Sudan.
It's always tricky. You're right, he's a Safa guy. He has been in the system for too long. Started off with under-17s, qualified them for AFCON and World Cup and all those kinds of things. He's a Bafana coach now. I don't think that he was number one on the list of the people who will come and coach Bafana.
Yeah.
But we have seen in the past that, these kinds of unexpected appointments to Bafana tends to surprise us. I'm not complaining. South Africans, we're very picky when it comes to coaches who coach our national teams.
Are we ever satisfied, though? And this is a question I always ask guys.
There's always a level of satisfaction when he's a local guy. It depends across the world.
So we're happy that he's local. Personally, but are we happy with him?
The caliber of the guy, he's not You are Carlos Quiroz. He's not your Hevrena in terms of experience and having been there. I'm not in any way disrespecting him. His experience is not there. But, you know, he has been coaching national teams for a while. Junior national teams. He has been assisting senior national coaches who were with Bafana before.
The last two, actually.
So, you know, you can't really dismiss him as a nobody. The issue which with me is that, you know, you can't do anything or run away from the accusations of him being the cheaper option because, in all honesty, Safa cannot afford to get whoever they want to come. So he's here now. And we can only wish him well. I think it's up to us as a country to support the guy. You saw what happened with the rugby when a local guy comes through and then he gets all the support. You know, I'm not saying he'll win the World Cup, but let's support him and let's try and qualify for the World Cup and let's try and qualify for the next Cup of Nations. And you know, we'll take it from there.
Is he... I don't know. I wanna do a little bit of a paradox with Rulani Mokoena at Pirates. You know, the Mokoena appointment was almost they didn't want to think too hard. They didn't want to drag it too long, and they wanted to give a hungry person an opportunity. You can say both of them, even though the results you can't exactly match them, and the coaching at different levels as well. But you can say both of them have the opportunity to change their trajectory as coaches. I mean, Rulani is still very young in age as well as coaching experience. But Molefe Ntseke has also got an opportunity to change what people might perceive to be the cheap option.
Well, if you look at the two, the only thing which is synonymous with them is that you know, both went for, in absence of the very best,
right,
they've went for what is available, which also ticks the box of continuity. Ren has been there. I mean, you know, why do you want to go and get somebody outside who will come and, you know, start understanding the play? So Ren has been there, and you know, let him continue and see what happens. Belief has been there, been assistant coach. You know, let him continue and let's see what happens. And also, to a large extent, I guess you're saving a little bit of money.
Which is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, I don't think Rulani ends the same as
Mitchell.
I don't think Mulifu will end the same as
Stuart Baxter,
the previous head coaches were ending. So, in terms of continuity, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. For Mokoena, you know, you rightfully say, you know, the standards, the levels are not the same. The other one is a national team, the other one is a local club. You know, for Pirates, not really, haven't had, you know, things have not been smooth. But then again, you know, looking at you know, what maybe Dr. Koza is trying to do is to give him a chance. He has repeatedly refused to speak about the situation in Pirates. The fans are a little bit edgy.
Agitated.
You know, I just don't know what is going to happen.
What is it? Two competitive defeats in the Soweto Derby already this year, with the promise of a return league, you know, clash. That can't go down well with Pirates fans at all.
No, it can't go down well. I was at the Telkom Knockout Derby, and fortunately I had a chance to speak to him at the airport when we were coming back. And you know, one of the things about that defeat for Pirates was not good, but it was nice, if I can use the word nice, to see Pirates going down.
Fight.
Going down early in the second, a man down early in the second half, and forcing this match to go all the way to penalties. They didn't play that bad. It could have gone either way. I mean, if you know, Chiefs at the moment are a team that is, you know, easing with confidence. They've been doing very well under Edmund Dodo. Even though, if you put the two together, you can argue that the team that plays better football is Pirates.
Than
Chiefs,
but
Chiefs are just found a formula
to get over the
of
line.
Going over there and getting the 3 points, of going over there and getting a win in a cup match, which is what is important.
Yeah.
So the Pirates fans, though,
actually,
they might,
it's like the old Chiefs. Actually,
yeah, Pirates fans, even though they may be disappointed at the moment, you know what gives them hope is that the team is at least playing, you know, a good brand of football, which is what you know, maybe this guy will grow into the role, and then you know, next season, if he's still there, we may see something different. If he start the season again, go to pre-season, you know, get a few players that he wants, you know, you'll never know. But whether he will be there next season or not is another story.
Right, other side of the Yexke River,
Pretoria,
Pitore Kwan. Klokop.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on there, bro?
Yeah.
Are we seeing the end of this Sundowns dynasty?
I think it's a little early to say. If you've been following Sundowns over the past, well, since Pito arrived, they've often tend to be slow starters in the, especially in the league.
Mm.
You know, it will be too early for people to start panicking about Sundowns.
Is it results oriented though, or is it backroom politics?
Well, you know, the issues of the backroom stuff, you really never know until you are in there, because I know there was an issue of the SMSs which cropped up, you know, sometime last weekend. You know, people are saying this or that, and you know, things that happens behind the scenes, you just never really know what's going on. You know, this one accused the other one of something and all those things, and it's always difficult. But you know, from what we can see, which does not need us to being in there, is, you know, how they are performing on the field. I don't think they're performing to the best of the ability, given the quality that is there. I will still say that it will be too early to start dismissing Sundowns as a team that will have a say as to what you know, how this the entire season will continue. My feeling is that I see a situation where if Sundowns can manage to win two league matches, they will suddenly put you know, put Chiefs under a lot of pressure, regardless of whether Chiefs drop or continue to get points.
Just to have Sundowns breathing down,
because they will, Chiefs at the moment will not need a Sundowns that is picking up consistency.
No one wants
because if they do that, then it's a problem. And I can tell you now, knowing Bizzo and you know how he has done this so many times, I can tell you now that the players for the past maybe 5 days have not been training. He must have given them some time off to
just
recover.
Breathe.
After this FIFA window, you know, he's got Telkom Cup,
Telkom Cup, yeah.
And the Champions League is continuing now. So he must have given them time to recover. Fortunately, maybe for him, Mshishi is back. Serino is back.
I think it's pretty fortunate Mshishi didn't play in the internationals.
Yeah.
I think he's tired, man.
Yeah, also, I mean, you know,
to be a starter
injured
locally,
Kev, and
for Bafana duties for the better part of the last 2 years,
it's a lot, yeah. And I mean, it's not only him. You know, a big chunk of the team plays for Bafana, and the rest are playing for their countries on the continent. So if he's the FIFA week, he's left with less than half the squad.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just give them some time off and you know, they forget about football. And I will really be in a position to gauge Sundowns now when they come back.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, 3-4 games in the league. In the Champions League, I'm sure they will negotiate their way around. They've been doing this now for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
The other key thing for them is the cup. They will want to progress to the final of the Telkom Cup. And there again, having an opportunity of seeing them against Chiefs in the Telkom Knockout final, which will be something that is good for our football in the country. But
look,
it's still early to really
could be the repeat of the 2015 Telkom Knockout.
And you know what will happen then.
You know,
I don't want to be.
Have you enjoyed the comments though between Pito and Middendorf?
Yeah, well, sometimes a little bit over the top, but I've always said that you know, Pito has earned the right to speak his mind. He's a guy who has achieved a lot. I don't like people when they attack each other. Sometimes it becomes personal, and I don't think it has really been like that. Pito is using all these things as part of his mind games, and you know, Mourinho used to do this with Arsene Wenger and other coaches.
You must try
and get under the skin of the opposition and see if you cannot beat them before you actually meet them.
So kind of backfire when they lost 2-0 to G.
It has been entertaining. You know, he has coined this benefiting phrase, which has been doing very well for us. Every time there's a mistake from the ref, benefiting is trending on Twitter. So yeah, it has been nice. You always want you know, that rivalry between two coaches in the league. I mean, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
the Dal League, yeah, where
no.
People are
towing the line and everything is all PR.
No, it's not good. Pizzo and Middendorp is good for the league.
Yeah, no, I love it. I have to be honest. Yeah, I love good, it. Yeah. I love it when Pizzo's having a go. Because
imagine them playing in a high stakes game in a Telkom knockout fight.
That would be amazing. And it will put a lot of rest under pressure.
That would be fantastic. I would love to go to that match.
Now, before I let you go from Mahlatsi, we have something called the Upset and Playmaker of the Week here. I'm going to need you to adjudicate. I put together the options. If you've got an option that I've not included, feel free to go against the script. There weren't too many upsets in the world of sport. No, now, this is general sports. But I managed to pluck out three results that I think might be of an upset nature. The first being on the tennis court, Stefanos Tsitsipas defeated Roger Federer in the semifinals of the ATP Tour Finals in London last week before going on to win the tournament by beating Dominic Thiem in the final by three sets. The actual upset, I think, was on Roger, who had beaten Djokovic, knocked out Djokovic in that competition. Option two, now this is really left field, Comoros Islands drew 0-0 with Egypt in the 2021 AFCON qualifiers last Tuesday. And they are option three as well when they beat Togo the previous Thursday in Togo. Now, I know it's not the old Togo that made the World Cup for the first time, I think, in 2006 in Germany. But who are Comoros Islands to do and get these results? And they're top of their group, actually, with 4 points at the moment. So I'll leave it to you to adjudicate for us that upset.
Okay. Let me go off the script and say, maybe not an upset, but you will tell me. I think Brad Binder.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But Brad Binder.
Well, maybe not an upset.
Par for the course for him, eh? That guy has been winning since Moto 3, Moto 2,
you
and
see,
I think he's going to
the big one now.
Yeah, he's going to Moto GP next year. Maybe if he wins the race, we'll beat him next year.
Maybe,
that guy has been
some guy who has a lot of kids, I think we should be proud of.
No, we are definitely proud of Brad Binder.
It's a tough environment that he's operating in, and for him to have done as well as he has done, I think, you know, we must make him trend. We must make him. we must make sure that everybody knows about him, especially young kids in the townships and all those things.
No. It's done. It's done very, very well. Yeah. But I wouldn't say it's an upset.
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah.
Of these options.
Yeah. Well, I guess Comoros. I just don't know what's going on in terms of their systems in football in that country. Maybe they've decided to I don't know, to take it serious or what. I mean,
I think that's, for me, that's what makes it so
because
appealing.
You know, if the FA takes it serious, put systems in place, you end up with results like that,
like Cape Verde, when they started coming up.
I remember Angola some other time qualified for the World Cup, you know, maybe sometimes you just become lucky. You just have this lucky run that everything goes your way, and boom, there you are, where nobody expected it to be. But I guess Comoros, still early though. Let's see if they can maintain the momentum and qualify. Remember Lesotho some other time qualified for the Cup of Nations also.
Yeah.
But when they go to the tournament, nothing happened. You know, maybe you know. Let's see. Still early, but so far so good for them.
Yeah. All right, playmaker Tommy Fleetwood, as we now already know, came from behind to win a sudden death victory at Sun City to claim the Nedbank Golf Challenge, otherwise known as Africa's Major. Option two is Lebohang Phiri, which you were there live to see him score his first Bafana Bafana goal and the stunning winner, obviously, over Sudan at Orlando Stadium. And bit of a far field option, but Dean Elgar's 88 not out to lead the Tswana Spartans to the first Mzansi Super League victory, beating Power Rocks, much fancied Power Rocks side, by 8 wickets. Now we're talking playmaker. This is an individual award.
Yeah, this will be a bit difficult. I mean, all of them, Dean Elgar, he has always been crying that he wants to play.
Yeah, he wants to play the shorter formats because everyone is like,
I think he's long form. He's saying to everybody, look what I'm doing. Fleetwood, at the end of play on Saturday, it didn't look like he will end up being the winner.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't watch on Sunday.
Yeah.
But maybe let me give it to Bafana, given...
Okay.
Given
since
the
you were there.
Also, the importance of the goal. We'll probably have dropped 2 points if we didn't win that match. And it was going to be a disaster for us
yeah.
to start the qualification process with only 2 points after two matches. I mean, 1 point after two matches.
Yeah.
So, and also it was a beautiful goal. I think Piri is a right-footed player, but, you know, he took a nice shot under
really?
Pressure
oh.
with the left foot. It was a well-taken goal. Keeper no chance. Quick reaction on the ball because the ball actually rebounded from a Sudanese defender. And he had someone behind him chasing him.
Yeah.
So there was not enough space inside the box for him to execute. But he was quick off the mark and reacted quickly and took a shot. And, you know, it, the keeper had no chance there. So the beauty of the goal.
The importance
of the goal. Yeah. I'll give it to Piri.
All right. Lebohang Piri.
I really hope for his sake that this is the beginning of nice things for him. Or maybe a consistent run for him. With the national team because he has been on the fringes for too long and I kind of like him as a footballer. I think he's a
decent.
Yeah, he's a decent footballer.
All right, we'll get into more Lebohang Piri in the weeks to come. Right, that wraps up the first part of our conversation with Bramahlatsi Mphahlele. Next up, we switch back to rugby. Conversation with a guy that used to coach some of the World Cup winning Springboks. Eliot Fana is who I'm chatting to, and he used to coach Lukanyo Am as well as Makazole Mapimpi. We are now joined on the line by none other than former Border head coach Eliot Fana. Now, Eliot Fana is one of the guys that coached Border during one of its most prominent years, and he got the privilege, shall I say, of guiding the two young talents that we saw in the Springboks. That was Makazole Mapimpi as well as Lukanyo Am. Bra Elliot, how did you feel seeing those two boys lifting the World Cup trophy a couple of weeks ago?
I'm very happy to see those two players lifting the World Ellis trophy. One is I'm happy for the players themselves, and then two, I'm happy for their families, and then thirdly, for our region, Eastern Cape, because it is a hub, we view it as a hub of black rugby.
Yes, it is a hub. A lot of people seem surprised that a talent like Makazole Mapimpi can come from the rural areas and not go to these big schools and still somehow manage to get to the Springboks. But you and I both know that this talent, there's plenty of this talent in the Eastern Cape.
Yes, correct. There's plenty of talent in the Eastern Cape. And I should think it's high time that we move beyond this issue of only focusing on boys from big schools, you know. Maybe it's high time that we focus on what I will term, we look at the potential of a player, in particular the player that we are talking about now, Makazole Mapimpi, because if we were to say we're taking boys from big schools, he was going to miss out. But the fact that at the time when I was coaching Border, I was looking at potential. So to build the Border and provincial team, because at that time, this boy was not an international player, he was not a provincial player, I purely went on the potential that was there.
We saw that, just starting with Lukanyo Am, there are a lot of natural raw skills that Am possesses. What did you see in this boy when you gave him an opportunity to play in the midfield of that Border team, I think between 2013 and 2016 when you were head coach?
Lukanyo, one, I was always a fan of the potential. You know, that's the key word for me, that I was looking at potential. Then in terms of his skills, the boy had flair because we were utilizing him as a 12 and also as a 13 as well. So he could play inside center or outside center. But the most outstanding thing about Lukanyo Am, he's a student of the game. and he's very humble, and he is coachable. So I should think his people's skills were always punching above the mark when it comes to Luke.
And there was a time where he went to the Falcons and things didn't work out well, but you guys were happy to welcome him back to Border. What were those years like? I think it was 2014 for him. And what was he like mentally and you know, emotionally?
The boy was highly frustrated at that time, and you will remember as well that this was during the time that there was a turmoil at Border, where we had two teams. I should think there was a team that was under the auspices of the late Mr. Andre Killian, and then there was a team that was under the auspices of Mr. Mkolo, who was the president of Border Rugby Union. So when Lucanio came back from the Falcon, he went into the academy. The academy that was run by the current manager of the Kings team, Mr. Zingiela, and also the head coach at that time of the academy, the Saru Border Academy. It was Mr. Lumumba Kari, who was very fond of Luke. And they actually approached us as the senior Border provincial team management, and they said, here is a boy, he's good enough, we think he can play at this level, he can add value. I then invited him over for a few sessions, and our backline coach at that time, Kumani Boy, he really liked what he saw from Luke, and as far as I was concerned as well, I saw potential, because at that time, the guys that were playing for Border were club rugby players. In particular, Makazole Mapimbi that you refer to. He was coming from a club. Mm. And then Luke at that stage was then housed at an academy. So there were no professionals at Border Rugby Football Union at that time. So all these players were players that were coming, one, from the institutions such as University of Fort Hare and Walter Sisulu. And then two, they were coming from club rugby, from teams like Winter Rose and Swallows, who have just played in the National Championship, and then Fort Hare University.
Yes, and that team didn't do too badly. Actually, it was very good. You reached the playoffs of the first division, of the Currie Cup first division, if I'm correct, a couple of times with those boys.
I was told by those that are well vested when it comes to history of Border Rugby Union that the last time that a Border professional team played in the playoffs, it was 12 years ago. Now, that team did so well because I remember it went into the playoffs where I think we lost against Griffon, if my memory serves me well. And that team was truly built on the potential. So potential speaks volumes when it comes to players from our shores, the whole of Eastern Cape. They ever have already alluded that there were no professional players there that you can pinpoint and say this team of Border Rugby Football Union was being built around certain players who have played professional rugby and all of that. It was purely built around the Saru Border Academy, the University of Fort Hare, and the club. So we are just talking pure potential.
Yeah, and Luke was a number 12 in your team, right?
Yes, Luke was the number 12 because of his distribution skills, and they said that he could easily get offload. The other guys were playing around him, the likes of Onke Dubase, the current captain of Border Bulldogs, Dilip Dutton, who also hails from the University of Fort Hare. So he was more of a playmaker at that particular time.
And when he moved to the Sharks, they saw him as a number 13, but it seems like the way he's so talented that, you know, now people see him as a 13, and he is now the starting, or was the starting 13 at the Springboks in a World Cup final, which is shows how talented he was to play a different position and make it all the way to the Springboks and win a World Cup.
Yes, the key issue there is that, as I've already alluded, that you can use him at both. Mm. Even us at Border, we did see him as a 13 as well, but we did not have a 12 that could do the job that he was doing at the time. And if you look at the current Springbok setup, the whole World Cup was being centered around defense. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the 13 is a key when it comes to defense, because it can marshal people on the inside and also on the outside as well. I'm under the impression, I don't know what was Rafi's reasoning of playing in a 13, but I'll take a guess and say the reason he was played at 13, it was because he is so good when it comes to organizing, his organizational skills when it comes to defense. And hence, maybe Rafi played in there 13. Because I know a guy like Jack, he likes people to communicate on defense. Mm. So maybe the main reason that he wanted Luke to play 13, it was purely because they needed someone who's got good organizational skills. And Luke possesses exactly that.
I'm told that Makazole Mapimpi is one of the most disciplined guys you will find in a team in terms of his lifestyle and taking care of his body. And there were a few guys you might say that were ahead of Mapimpi maybe in their careers, because he was playing rural rugby just as recently as maybe 2014, and he was playing at Winter Rose and as well as Swallows, and playing in the Dalimpofu Easter tournaments, you know, those kind of local tournaments. But I'm told that he, because of his discipline, he was able to overtake a lot of guys who were maybe ahead of him in the provincial ranks, and then he just continued to make it as far as he did.
I agree with the people that are saying Makazole Mapimpi is ahead of his time when it comes to discipline. The main reason I'm saying that, it is truly because he understands that his body is actually his temple. He needs to look after his body in order for him to yield the quality of the results that makes him to perform on the rugby field. He's a kind of a guy that can take an instruction. He's not somebody who will not take an instruction and work against the coach. You know, he's a very positive guy. If you tell him that this is right, he takes it with a good heart and with a good mind that this is the line that I need to toe, and he does as the instruction. He's a pleasure to have around in a team. And in actual fact, I must say, I was very surprised when they came back from the World Cup and he was actually taking questions from the media, because he's not that type of a guy that can actually give responses to the media and all of that. But I saw Makazole that has grown when it comes to how he reacts to the media and all of that, which is a plus for a guy from the rural areas as well.
Now, Bra Elliot, before I let you go, how do we make sure that the Mapimpis, there are more Mapimpis coming out of rural areas, and we make sure that, you know, these talented boys, and there are plenty. I'm from Built-in myself. We have a team there called Olympics. They love rugby there in that area. You know, we've produced Olungelo Pai, who played for Border and Western Province. And, you know, but these kids, they get, you know, they don't get opportunities to progress, and we end up not seeing them any further. How do we make sure that there are more Mapimpis going forward in the future of South African rugby?
If we want to make sure that there's a lot of Makazole Mapimpis, we have to get our system right. When I say we must get our system right, I mean there are two things that you can do in terms of looking after a rugby player. One, you need to create what we call a professional pathway. And then two, you need to develop. So that means there must be a lot of tournaments that are out there. And then there should be proper governance of rugby, because rugby in the Eastern Cape, it is not properly governed. That's where the problem is. Yes, we do have talent, but what is it that we do with our talent? We cannot nurture our talent due to the fact that we are lacking financial resources. We are found wanting when it comes to issues of proper governance. Our club rugby is dying, and so is our provincial union, Border Rugby Football Union. So it is high time that there is an investment in a form of a capacity building where we take people that are knowledgeable and then we make them administer our rugby. Our rugby in the Eastern Cape is not well administered. It must be well administered so that we can see more and more of the Magazole Mapimpi.
Elliot, are you still the director of rugby at Fort Hare University?
I am currently the chairperson of Fort Hare Rugby.
Chairperson of Fort Hare Rugby.
Yes.
Now, tell me about the influence or the impact of universities, historically black universities, in this pathway that you are talking about in rugby. What role do you guys have to play in making sure that these boys are playing Varsity Shield and hopefully a Varsity Cup, just so that they can at least have a platform there?
We need to teach our children to make use of the platforms that are already available for them. Currently, you can go to quite a number of institutions. You will find that talented boys cannot play in our Shield teams. One, because they cannot pass at school. The opportunities are there. But when the boys come to our institutions, they do not pass. And now there are rules and regulations in these tournaments that the guys that are playing must pass in the classroom. So we need to strike the balance when it comes to the academics and the rugby pros of students or of young men in our villages. They need to pass. It can't be that we've got students that come to institutions just to play rugby without looking at life after rugby. So our boys need to be well educated when it comes to taking opportunities that are at their disposal. There is a lot of opportunities for these boys now. It is just a question of them rectifying how they live their own lives when it comes to rugby and academics. Because at the institutions, we want rugby players that are serious about their academic pros. Rugby players that do pass in the lecture room, then they can play rugby. It's not rugby and then academics. It is academics and then rugby.
No, excellent stuff, Bra Elliot. I really appreciate your time, and I'm sure you must have been proud of those two boys, Umakazwale and Olukanye.
Yes, definitely. I'm extremely proud of them because we can now use them as guinea pigs going forward to say, guys, look at Mapimpi. Guys, look at Olukanye. We are very, very, very proud of this guy.
Job well done, Maguwe Puti. I'm sure at some point they will come and shake your hand and say, no, you helped them in their career.
Thank you very much, Puti.
All right. Ngosika Kulu Puti. That's it from me, Sbu Mjikeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, PocketCast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the Multimedia Live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Mninawa Mchana Ntoko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the Sports Live podcast, that's goodbye for now.